chapter 4.
I am going to have someone lead in prayer to open up. I think I see Timothy over there. He has a great big P written on his forehead. He has written on his. I shouldn't say it. It's not nice for Italians. And so, would you lead us in prayer and forget all of this other stuff?
Your Heavenly Father, I ask that you would bless this Bible study. God, I thank you that we can have a Bible study and hear from the Word of God, which can do all and does do all. God, I ask that you bless it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. How do I get into all of this extra stuff that I get into?
I mean,
you know, like him with the pee and whatever, you know? Oh, I know what it was. It wasn't so bad on Italians. Do we have any Italians here? Oh, yeah, I guess so. You know why so many Italians are named Tony? Because when they came into the Port Authority and immigration and they didn't know where to go, they would write to and why. To New York. See, that isn't so bad, is it? No. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. I don't know, Sue, you were going to sit over there and then you moved. I used my deodorant today, so I don't know. All right. See, that's the sort of thing that I get into. No, where does that dumb stuff come from?
You're just extra.
Oh, is that what it is? All right. Chapter 4. I am going to go directly to the verses that, you know, that just got my attention as I've been reading through it. And that first one is in verse 2. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Now, what caught my attention there was the two words, good doctrine. Okay? Not everybody that gives you doctrine may give you good doctrine. And particularly when you would be listening to the radio, television, or you're going maybe online and find some programs. I mean, you may be going online to find Brother McVeigh, according to how you get Brother McVeigh's podcast, okay? I go to his website and I plug into it from there. It's easier for me. Depending on how you get there, you may go online and you're not intending to go to some weirdo, but in the process of looking for the good guy that you know's there, you know, you end up stumbling across something else. And of course, some people just go online to search around, to look around. I've done that plenty of times. But not everybody is going to give you good doctrine. And of course, the key, when they teach something, and if they teach something and you say, oh, yeah, wow, I never thought about that, or I never heard that. Well, before you get all excited, check it out with the Bible. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, I searched what I could, but I can't, you know, really find anything that I know. We got a walking library. Well, he's sitting now, but you know, check with pastor. But I know this is what I heard, or this is what I read, and you better tell him I've looked and searched, okay, and I can't find anything that's definitive on it, because if you just call him and say, hey, I heard this and such, what do you think? He's going to say, well, what do you think? Why don't you go study it and then come back and tell me what you found? So if you have studied and haven't found enough, you better tell him up front. Now, is that right or not? Huh?
Yeah,
sure. And when I first said that, enough of you laughed. So I knew it was. But Solomon says, for I give you good doctrine. And then he gives a key. Forsake ye not my law. The word that God gave him is what you use to compare. I give you good doctrine. Now don't leave that. Don't walk away from that. Don't forsake it. And so that's significant. Now we come to church and we get good doctrine. And Solomon would tell us, don't forsake it. Forsake ye not my law, he said. Okay. Don't we should not forsake the law that we're given. Law there is small L, it's the word of God. Okay? It's the teaching that the Lord gave to us through Solomon. Now we turn over. Well, in my Bible, you turn over, maybe yours don't. We go to verse 7. I was telling Jody earlier, we were talking about studying the Bible and all, and I told her, like, if you were to look at verse 2, it would be a yellow. I use pencils, not highlighters, because they tend to bleed through, even the ones that say they won't. Okay? Of course, that might be because we don't have a quality enough paper. But whatever the reason, pencils don't do that. And so I use a pencil. And now a little tip there. Don't get too hard of lead, because Bible paper's thin. And if you have to press too hard to get it colored, it can affect the paper. Now, let me give an advertisement. How do I get into this stuff? Paper Factory, North Union Street, costs $1.25 a pencil. The whole pencil is the color. It's not wood around lead. The whole thing is colored. Nick's familiar with them. Yeah. And that is not a hard lead. So that when you're going on the thin Bible paper, it colors it easier, quicker. $1.25 each. Okay? You probably ought to get at least 4 colors if you're going to do that. And or if we can get a memory like pastors, then we can throw away all of our pencils.
Huh?
Yeah, you better buy more pencils, Tom. All right, now, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Okay? About everything. Verse 3 down through, I was my father's son. The only beloved side of my mother. He taught me, let mine heart retain. And then verse 5, which we're going to see in 7. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Forsake her not. That is wisdom. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Whatever you're getting, it may be good, but get wisdom. Okay, because that's the principal thing. That's, as it were, the foundation on which everything else is going to be built. Now, today I had a fella come, and this is not just, you certainly want wisdom about the Bible, the Word of God. But, hey, I'm experiencing an answer to prayer. Okay? Now, not that other tomfoolery stuff I said, but I pray, God, help me to give what's in these Bible verses, okay? And none of this, I don't have notes. This is scary. I don't have notes. But wisdom is the principal thing. It's, if you please, the key thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But it does, the verse doesn't end there. Do you see what it says? It's not written on me. It doesn't. I don't have anything written on my forehead. Okay? So you need to be looking at your Bible. Therefore, get wisdom, colon, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It's one thing to get wisdom and know what you ought to do. But it's another thing to understand it. You see, the understanding is what enables us to apply the wisdom. All right, I got wisdom. Wonderful. I'm smart. Okay. But how do I apply that? How do I use that in a way that's going to benefit me or benefit others? Now, I started to say today, I had a man, young man, come to the house, and I bought a headstone for Patricia's grave. It's actually a double stone, so it'll have. We didn't put when I'm going to die on there because that was twisted. Okay, I didn't want it to be any kind of hint to anybody. but he was coming. I knew he was coming for a week or two, and I told him I have become very proficient in procrastination. Ever since Pat's funeral, I've had his name on a note on my desk. As a matter of fact, what was on the desk was sitting upright, and the note was taped on it. You know what it was that it was taped on? Foot powder. I'm the craziest person. Now, the whole note covered it, so I didn't look at it and see foot powder, you know, keep your feet dry or anything. But ever since she passed, and finally, 2 weeks ago, I called him and said, he comes to the house. Oh, it's Marv, I love this. I love the day we live in. He opened his iPad. He pulled up the program with the company he gets the stones from, and he showed me stones, color stones, size stones. We came up, I scratched out what I thought I would like to be on the stone, told him that's flexible. And so he put that right on the iPad. Yeah, I mean, this is wonderful. And then he said, you know, he gave me a price. I said, whoa. And then he said, well, we can make it smaller. So he, you know, on the iPad, took it from 40 inches down to 36. And instead of the base being 6 inches deep, he made it 4 inches deep. And all of that shaved money off of it. Got it down to a point that, I don't want to say I can afford, but I could. No, it didn't make me cry. And praise God, in advance, he provided for that.
Yeah.
He did, okay? I didn't have to mortgage a house to get a headstone. Right. But I prayed ever since I called him for wisdom.
Amen.
I asked my kids to pray for wisdom. I asked my friend to pray for wisdom. And I believe God gave it. Because I told the young man, I said, now, I know nothing about what we're doing. And so I got what is called a slant stone. Okay, it's not straight upright, it's a little slanted. And you say, why did you get that? I liked it, okay. There was no other reason. But when I talked with him, I said, well, now if we go from, it started at 42 inches wide. I said, if we go from 42, he said, we have 48 inches we can work with. We put it between the two plots. And then he said, now he said, and here's where it helped. and I prayed for wisdom. I found out he's a believer. Yeah, I really did. I said, you know, this stone is going to be my wife and my last public testimony and statement of faith. So we have an open Bible. On that open Bible is printed, saved by grace. And underneath it, are you saved? Now, Christians that come, they know where that's from. And I didn't put Ephesians 2, 8, 9 on it because unbelievers may not know that Ephesians is part of the Bible. And so I felt that was a sufficient enough statement. And then I used the term religion because I didn't know where he was at. I said, you know, religious people this, religious people. He said, well, I'm a religious person. And I said, oh, okay, then you know what I'm doing. And he says, matter of fact, I know the Lord. Oh, okay. Well, we pursued that a little later. And I said, you know, if I had known that, we'd have prayed before we started. And I said, now I've been praying, and I have my four kids praying, and I have my extra kid praying. And so, it's covered. But he said, well, we can pray now. So I said, fine, let's do it. And I bowed my head and said, Father, and began to talk to him about it. And when I was done, as a matter of fact, when I was praying, I prayed, now, Father, if something ought to be done different, you know the setup here, and you're going to have to tell me pretty quick what ought to be different. Because, you know, I needed to sign for it and write him a check, and okay. Now, I guess I could have had him come back 2 days later, and certainly would have if the Lord had put that on me hard. But I explained to him, you know, I prayed and asked for the Lord to give me wisdom and to lead me. Now, either I'm going to believe what the Bible says that he would do that,
amen,
and I do, and therefore I'm going to assume that in the background he has been working, and I may just think, oh, I like that, I like this, not realizing why I like this, I like that, by his influence. So you don't always have to have a handwriting on the wall kind of leading. If you have faith and trust in what the Bible says about God leading you, then you can just figure God is leading you. You can depend on what he says. Now, that's not in Hebrews. Where are we at? Proverbs.
Between the lines.
Between the covers. Wisdom is the principal thing, key, absolutely important. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all of the getting of wisdom that you get, be sure you pray for and secure understanding. You say, well, how do I know if I have secured understanding? You a child of God? You believe your father?
Amen.
My earthly father didn't lie to me.
Amen.
Why would my heavenly father lie? Amen. He said, if I pray and ask him, he's going to answer. My Heavenly Father takes care of me. Doesn't yours? Well, sure he does. And therefore, when I pray and say, God, give me wisdom, and I will word it this way, I'll say, Lord, help me to understand this thing that I'm dealing with. And I tell you, as sure as I know I'm sitting here, I believe that he's going to give me understanding.
Amen.
Might I not be able to figure it out and stuff? Sure. But even there, I'm praying for his help. Can I not figure he would help me? We got to quit doubting God.
That's right. Yeah.
And live our life not as if he were leading us, as he is leading us. My lands, what an answer to prayer. I didn't have any of this in mind. Exalt her, that's wisdom, and she shall promote thee.
Amen.
Ooh.
Amen.
Okay, if you exalt wisdom, and you in your heart and mind consider it the significant thing, If you exalt wisdom, if you in the priority of your thinking put wisdom up there on the top shelf, exalt her, and she, that is wisdom, is going to promote you. Promote you. Yeah, wisdom's going to work in us and lead us and guide us. And we're going to find, it says here, and she shall bring thee to honor. Now, we're not looking for honor. But let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with honor. It makes one feel rather good. I've told you before, you're my family. You're my family. I have 4 kids. They're all precious. We have good relationship and interaction. But I don't see them as often as I see this family. And you're important.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I know I'm Pastor Emeritus, and I know that God's given me the ability to stand up front and lead. And all of you have shown me, she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. I seek wisdom, and you folks have given me a sense of being honored.
Amen,
brother. That's not what I'm looking for. But let me tell you something, I'm not going to refuse it. It makes you feel real good.
Right. Yeah.
Now your husband honors you, and your wife honors you. Just relish in it. Just enjoy it. Don't take it for granted. I don't ever want to be guilty of that. Don't take that honor for granted. But if you've sought wisdom, and this isn't just one time, you know, it's in general, your life is characterized by seeking wisdom. You know, there's going to be some times when you blow it and you forgot to get wisdom on something and it fell apart and the Holy Spirit reminds you of why. What do you do with that? You confess it, okay? And he'll forgive it, he'll cleanse you, and he'll say, all right, now get up and go forward. Quit laying in, and don't sit there and wallow in the pity of what you didn't do. Sometimes you can't help but remember it. But we don't have to wallow in it.
That's good, bro.
Oh, my goodness, no. All right, now, the next one. All right, now we're going to leave that. Verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. You see, we want wisdom. We want understanding. A lot of time, that's going to come with instruction. So when you're here in church, and I think most of you do, I'm going to say what I am to hit the one that doesn't, or hit you when you don't. You're here in church, pay attention. Okay? If you're concerned about something, for goodness sakes, come with a paper and pen. And just make a note of it so you can deal with it when you get home. If you sit there and think, I wonder if I ought to do this. I wonder what I ought to do with that. I wonder if this is going to happen. I wonder if that's going to happen. It's going to rob you of instruction. Now, if you've got a fantastic memory that you just say, God, remember that when I get home. Wonderful. God bless you. He has. But for the rest of us, carry a piece of paper. Now, I'm going to give you a tip on where you can find one. It doesn't always work. But we over here are some, I believe the answer's on the way, chorus sheets. I left the house without a blank paper. Ah, the back is blank. Hey, you know, what are there, 8 or 9 over there? We're just going to throw them away after this Sunday. Now, if you take the last page that's there, shame on you. But anyway, and make your note. Now you can pay attention to instruction. That's so important. Because remember what I said about how the parable of the soil, the birds, plant the seed, and bird comes along and picks the seed out. That can happen by people talking together. And that might be just leaning over to your husband or wife and saying, hey, remind me when I get home to do this and such. And she's going to say, what? And then you've got to say, remember I need to do something about the car tires? Remind me when I get home. Oh, okay. You just missed the last five or six sentences that pastor said. Yeah. And they might just be the sentences you needed.
Amen.
You might get up and go out of church and think to yourself, well, I didn't get much out of today. No. That's because you didn't use a blank piece of paper and a pen. Really? Okay, I know I say that in half jest, but it's true. Because had you just took out your pen and hurry scribbled down tires, that's all you need. You wouldn't have missed but three or four words. You see, a lot of successful Christian living is in the practical thing.
Sure.
You want to take a lot of the Christian life and elevate it up on some kind of a ivory pedestal. When all it is down here on the bottom shelf of practical living. And so that's that tip for today. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. So you get instruction, don't let it go. Don't let it go.
Yeah.
Patricia took so many notes on every message. When she would have to be at home and watch programs on TV or watched our live streaming, she sat there with a full-size tablet and she'd write things down. And I said, why did you take so many notes? She said, there's things there I want to remember. It was not uncommon when I came home and she was excited about something. And she'd say, I'm going to tell you what I heard today. I wanted to get undressed and get comfortable. I had to sit down and listen to her as she read off the things that she had heard and learned. Okay? And so we let her not go. That is the instruction. Keep her. Here's why. Keep her, for she, in this case, the instruction, is thy life. The instruction that you get, that's what gives you the life you're looking for. You're praying, oh God, help me to be a good Christian. Oh God, I want to be a good Christian. And he's saying, I gave you some instruction. And all you did was forgot it. If you'd have written it down, you'd have had it. And then when you get home with what you wrote down, you have to have a place to put it. You've heard me say already, get yourself a shoebox. You might need more than one of them. And that's where you put such little ditties. And that way later when you think, you know, what was that? I remember that. Now you can go to that shoebox. And it might be on Sunday morning messages. Another box on the 1 o'clock messages. Another box on the special meetings messages. That's where you throw all of them little notes into. You can go back 4 years later, go through it and realize, I don't really need that one. I never used that one. But when you do need it, you want to have a place to get it from. You say, I'm not organized like that. Now, knowing you don't want to be either. Because if you wanted to be, I gave you a simple way to do it. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to buy 3 plastic shoe boxes and with a magic marker put on the end of it 11 o'clock and another one 1 o'clock and another one special meetings. And then you stick them in your closet. There's no room in my closet. Clear it out. This is the important stuff. Now, I'm serious. You say, this doesn't sound like Bible teaching. No, it's not directly Bible teaching, but I think I'm reading here, take fast hold of instruction.
That's right.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Here again, put your Christian life down in the bottom shelf of practicality. And get it out of the clouds. You're never going to live up there anyway. Good night. Not the way you're living. You're never going to get that holy. You say, well, I'll prove him wrong. That's okay. I don't mind being proved wrong about that sort of thing. Okay. Keep her. She is. Now look at this. And then I'm going to go to one more verse and I'm done. My land just went further than I expected. This last time, I'm going to pray for help. Three or four verses. Keep her, for she is thy life. Key word is life. I'm circling it in my Bible, even though I have that verse underlined. Now, the reason I'm circling it is because I know verse 23. Look at verse 23. One of the first verses I memorized. Keep thy heart. That's the inner being, the mind, the will, the spirit. That's not the heart like the pumped blood or the heart of emotions. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Don't do this in a slipshod manner. Be diligent about it. Yeah, I'm not sure what diligence means. That's what they make dictionaries for. Go find one. I'm serious because I can't remember what the definition would be. For out of it, out of what's the it? Heart. Out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. See verse 13. Keep her instruction, for she is thy life. And out of your heart is where the issues of life come from. So you need the instruction that God gives you so as to be able to deal with the issues of life. Some physical, many mental, some emotional, some relational, husband, wife, parent, child, sister, you know, sibling relationships, all kinds of relationships, aren't there? And out of it are the issues of life, job issues, citizenry issues. All kinds of issues are coming and are dealt with from the heart, because that's where you make the real decision factors. All right, I said more than enough. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity.
Sir, amen.
And I encourage you. Now we're going to do chapter 5 next week. So starting tomorrow, I'm going to read chapter 5 at least once. Usually once a day. You can read it more. I've sometimes read it more. But you read all of chapter 5, then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Keep some pencils nearby.
One of these, your phone? No, they're not.
No,
ones.
No.
Okay.
No. Hey, John, you still there?
He's on mute, remember?
Yeah, we put him on mute. We're second.
Yeah, we're still here.
Oh, okay. No, all right. Good for you.
Who forgot to put him on mute? I didn't want to hear his voice.
I hope you got something out of that. If you didn't get anything out of it, you ask Samantha, because I'm sure she will be glad to give you instruction.
Does anybody have a testimony of any verse in Proverbs 4 for themselves? I don't want to hold you up if you do. Okay. I want to take a quick... yes, sir.
Just that when... Oh, now I can't find the verse. But when it talks about how the... instruction kept your life, and
mm-hmm.
The second Pastor Haynes brought that up, also I got brought back to Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Okay.
And how if there was a question of whether or not instruction is something important, it's also something that Jesus claims is him.
Amen. It's good. It's good. All right. Real quickly, I want everybody, keeping your finger, ribbon, or whatever you do, I want you to go back in Proverbs 4. I want you to go back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 12. We're going to look a little peek in the bedroom of David and Bathsheba. See a little bit of their home life. We're going to go to verse 24. The immediate context is where the baby that was the result of David's adultery died. Okay? So 2 Samuel 12, verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba's wife and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name, Solomon, and the Lord loved him. That comfort there is he explained to her, whoever's born of this is going to be the king. All right, that's the comfort. David has a number of sons so already, but they're actually ineligible because the Lord said the one that's born unto thee in Jerusalem will be king. The one that's born in Hebron can't be king, okay? So he comforts her, and that's why later she comes in 1 Kings and says, didn't you promise me that Solomon would sit on the throne, okay? So Bathsheba has this child, and let's go back to Proverbs 4. This is going to go along with something that Ronnie was trying to say one time when we were all at Anchor, and it got messed up, but yet you had a good point in it, and we're going to back up what you said. Proverbs 4, verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Pastor Hain had that dead right. For I was my father's son, tender and beloved, and his father named him, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Did she love David?
No, she did not.
Okay. This whole thing just gives you an idea of what her life was like. Okay. And, but here's Solomon. Solomon is the one who the devil's watching all through the centuries because he believes that that's where the Messiah will come out of him. But realize it's actually Bathsheba's other son, Nathan, that Mary comes out of. It's called the Hail Mary pass. All right? And bypass the one you're looking for there and comes out of that son Nathan. But it's just an interesting tidbit when you read this stuff and you put the human on it. All right? And just look at that. All right. Then verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. So what you're seeing here really is a compilation of what David taught Solomon and Solomon's teaching his son. And we all get the benefit of it. Then it says this, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And most of you, most of the trouble you've gotten into is stuff we decline from words of your father's mouth. You might have had a horrible father. Okay? You might have had a man that abandoned you and everything else, but if you stop and think about it, there's some things he said to you in wisdom that if you'd done it, you'd be a lot better off than where you are now. Okay? And again, that's one of the hard things. That's why some of you are parents. So nice children have trouble listening to you because of other things you do. All right? And then we get mad at them, they don't listen, but you did the same thing, okay? Yeah. And again, hear the words of that father. Then he talked about wisdom. He said, verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Not a matter of just having one, but love wisdom. Love it when you hear wisdom out of someone else's mouth. Pastor Hain tried to impart some wisdom to folks. I hope you loved him doing that. You know, I almost stood up after the preaching last night and wanted the men who are called to preach to understand something. Bill Randall always said this, the key to preaching, aside from Bible and a walk with the Lord, is your personality.
That's right.
Yeah. Too many Bible colleges squish that. They put you in some little mold and you're a little tin soldier. There was no tin soldier in our pulpit last night, if you noticed that. In other words, it was that personality infused with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
infused with a man's wisdom over the years. And there's nothing more valuable than that. That's why it's so important for those of you who have a testimony and want to reach people, clean your life up. Make it something where you really can be yourself in front of people. They're not despising, all right? Because of junk that's in your life. There was nobody here last night when Pastor Hayne was having fun. He was laughing and all that. And there was no one despising him because they remembered when he did this or he did that. Okay? Thank God for that. Okay? Thank God for that. You can have that life. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. I don't care who you are, you can be the lowest on the totem pole where you work, you can be the lowest on the totem pole in your family, or whatever else. But if you embrace wisdom, after a while, people will begin to notice. They're going to realize that you have wisdom. They're going to see that. Verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. There's a few promises in the Word of God about living a long life, okay? Honor thy father and thy mother. This goes along. He said, hey, listen to me. Listen to the wisdom I have here. Honor thy father and thy mother. Yesterday, the funeral of Machias, Ray did a good job, didn't he? Honoring his father. All right? He saw to it that his father's oldest son and only son and one half his children. But he saw to it that people saw his father from absolute most honorable standpoint they could see him from. Okay? And, you know, that's good. Whether it helped anybody else, sure helped Ray. All right? Verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. Now, straightened there means narrowed down. We have the Straits of Hormuz, the Straits of Gibraltar. I am in a strait. I'm narrow. I don't have any. All right, so the Apostle Paul said, you're not straightened in me. I'm not the one that gave you these narrow, teeny little rules. You're straightened in your own bowels. Your feelings are doing that to you, okay? And so the thing is, your steps will not be straightened. It won't be where, oh, what can I do? I only got these narrow little choices. No, follow wisdom, and you'll have a lot of choices in life, okay? You'll have a lot of them. You won't find yourself with hardly anything you can do. You know, I talk about the years that I was out of the will of God and God finally destroyed my family. You know, one of the clues that I was out of the will of God is I used to realize that God led me like he leads animals in the wilderness. Lightning over here, you run that way. You know, the stream dries up, you go over there. You know, and it dawned on me, he's really leading me like a dumb ass. And I don't mean like buttocks. All right? I'm talking about the animal, all right? And, you know, it was a clue. He straightened my path. I didn't have a lot of choices. I can only do this. I can only do that. I can only do this. And you know, and it's just a good clue that somewhere you missed the will of God in this thing, buddy. Verse 13, take fast hold of instructions. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's out there all the time.
Yes.
All right? All the time it's there. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. You know, that goes a lot when you're scrolling on the internet.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. All right? Just today on Facebook, I saw something that burned in me. I wanted to click on it, and it burned in me for a couple hours. I had to, you know, keep refreshing the page, make sure that's away, and you know, but it just burned in me looking at it. I don't know what I would have seen but there was this alluring thought to what I might right. see there, all right? You know, don't pass by that stuff. You know, do your best. Stay away from that.
Amen.
Help us, Father.
God help us.
Then it says, verse 16, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's people out there plotting right now.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Mm-hmm. How to get you to click on those buttons, how to get you to walk in that door, how to get you to, you know, to do this or to do that. And they're plotting, and they're going to make money off of it. All right? Yeah. You know, I have to laugh. You know, I have, we have two websites. We've got the One Soul at a Time, and Dale and Amy set that up years ago. It's been a blessing. Well over 100 different people a week will go on and listen to some message or another off of there, and I've always been glad of that and pleased with that. And then we, Pure Cambridge Text, and you know, it used to be I wrote sometimes twice a week. I write like twice a month now, but it's still got 50, 60, 70 people a day from somewhere in the world will click on and read something on there. And then I see Zane Montgomery with 9,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel and 8 million views of one stupid little thing he's got there. But you know what the beauty is? It's clean. It's clean. It's nothing dirty. Right? Just the guys having fun, you know. But it's a wonderful thing. But there's people out there right now trying to figure out how to get you to look at something that's evil, something that's bad, and allure you and trick you into doing that.
They're just doing it in schools.
Yeah, dude. Yes, sir.
Pastor, if you get on there, sometimes I'll listen to some 70s music and stuff. Well, if you let it go, it'll go on to the next.
Yeah, it sure will.
But you know what? It never gets better. It'll always pick up the worst part, and it'll go to the next.
That's right.
You know, you're listening to something.
That you're exactly right. Yes, I've been there. I'll look at something. Oh, there's Herman's Hermits. Yeah, I remember them. And I'll click, oh, yeah, I remember that song. You know, that. Next thing you know, all day long, you're remembering, you know, that song.
Hermits, the Hell's Bells.
Yeah. 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 All right. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You know why it's a shining light? Because God's word is a lamp under their path. Uh-huh. All right. That's why it's a shining light. All right. Yes, sir.
Is the perfect day of the day when God comes back?
Well, perfect for some. All right. I don't, you know, it's interesting here when you look at that with the, under the perfect day. It could be. Perfect day could be even talked about the millennium in that sense. A day is unto 1,000 years. It could have a minor sense in the perfect day. Every once in a while, people have a perfect day. All right. And, you know, they don't happen often, but what's wrong they do, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, where you had just the right amount of Bible reading and just got along with people and, you know, this happened right and that happened right and the answer to prayer or whatever else. But it also could be something doctrinal, like the millennium or something of that sort, Josh. It's a good point there. All right. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is in darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. And most of the time they don't. You talk to people that are in a mess, they'll give you every excuse. And, oh, I just can't understand why all this is happening to me, you know. Why is this going on? Hard stuff.
Yeah.
Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now, it's interesting. He said, attend to my words. He didn't say, let them not depart from yours, not from thine eyes. Bible. Bible. Okay? They're written down. Bible. By the way, you know what the best Bible reading schedule is? The one that works for you. All right? And if the one you're on now isn't working for you, I don't mean for a day or two it didn't work. Okay? But you're on one, and consistently you're realizing, I'm not getting anything out of this. It's not working for me. My conscience is all tore up. You need to change your Bible reading schedule. Mm-hmm. Mr. Andy?
If I may be allowed to add on to that.
Go right ahead.
There were several times when I kept saying, I didn't get anything out of my Bible reading. You would always bash it back into my head, talk to God about it, see what you'll learn, review it. And I found that helped a little bit here and there, when I'm not being lazy, I'll be honest, just get that out.
Yeah. Well, amen. You know, it's better to read a little and get a lot out of it than, you know, a little out of reading a lot and not getting much and skipping stuff or whatever else. And, You know, and I'll have times, there's certain things in my Bible, certain things I always love in a passage, and I'll read the whole passage and realize, I didn't even see that thing I love. It showed me how much I was paying attention while I read it. All right. You know, and it's embarrassing. And, you know, you go back, oh, yeah, well, oh, there it is, God, yeah, you know. And but that's why I always like to talk to the Lord about what I read each day.
Right.
Tell him, hey, this is what I read today. All right. And, you know, and there's times, like right now in my life, when I'm reading the book of Job, and for whatever reason, it just pleases the Lord that each, you know, each sentence just seems to be burning a hole in me or whatever else. And, you know, 2 weeks from now, I might be grasping and struggling or whatever else, but push on. All right, get your eye, make your eye. I've had times I've had to stand there. All right, eyes, you're going to look at this stuff. You may not like it, but you're going to look at it. All right, there it is. Ha, ha, ha. You had to look at those words, all right? You know? And because I've learned, that's why you don't give up after a few days. Because sometimes you just have to push through. Your mind just can't concentrate on it or anything else, okay? By the way, Alan Moravec. He's been here a number of times over the years. I first heard him in 1982, probably, or 83, when he was a pastor in Delavan. But he was on my prayer list today, so I called him. He told me a very sad thing. He thinks he's had a stroke. He can't preach anymore. He can't concentrate long enough to preach, all right? And so, you know, that's if, you know, try to remember him in prayer on that. And, in fact, as a church, we may want to consider doing something for him, because even when he was preaching, after years in the ministry and years in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, different places he's preached and things, he was teaching in a Christian school to support themselves. So I doubt he's doing much of that after the stroke. So we may want to consider, you guys pray over that and see what the Lord would have us do as a church, all right?
Yes, sir.
Maybe send something to him.
Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Regarding that verse, it's probably one of my favorite verses after salvation, verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not what they stumble.
Amen.
I remember, and I think it could be directed at anybody, but very much so to a lost person, and even more so being like a younger person or a younger guy.
Yep.
But I remember when I first came here and riding in the car with you all the time, consistently throughout the week, and you tell me things, and you preach things, and you sit there and try to reason with me and try to explain to me, like, you just don't want to do this. And it wasn't entirely that I lusted so much to want to do this thing that I just didn't want to believe you. It was that I actually listened to what you're saying and just couldn't make sense of it. I couldn't make sense of the wisdom, and so I just wanted to do it. And then I find myself hurting so much later on. I remember getting saved and looking back on so many things. God opened my eyes to those things that hurt, why they hurt. Even as a lost person, he did it. But
amen. Amen. All right. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. So once thine eye, now my ear. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And again, one of the secrets to this church has been, I was telling somebody the other day, my people know less about manuscript evidence and translating and this kind of stuff than almost any King James church I know. They didn't become Bible believers because they used so-and-so text and rejected this one and this. You know, they became Bible believers because verses in this book began to cure problems in their life. Okay,
right.
And they realized that whoever created me, this is the owner's manual.
Yes.
All right? This is, you know, my life has become tolerable now. Not just tolerable, but they have days where I actually enjoy themselves. And it's a wonderful thing to see that when someone actually begins to enjoy their life and like their life. And, you know, how many of us used to have to come home and drink a six-pack to enjoy life, you know? And it was the only way to do it. And, you know, I remember those days, all right? And then a six-pack didn't do it anymore, you know? Six-pack, three bong hits and a pill, you know? And, maybe you enjoyed it that day or whatever else. And, you know, suddenly finding that you can enjoy life. You get out of life, which you're supposed to get out of life, all right?
Right.
All right, verse 23, as Pastor Hain read, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. put away from thee a froward mouth. That froward mouth that's going away from God, taking other people away from God, keeping away from right things, whose ways are crooked. There's always somebody who's going to have some kind of advice for you. Okay? Isn't it amazing, some of you, when you first started coming to church, some relative hadn't talked to you about God in 20 years, suddenly decided you're in the wrong church?
Yeah.
It's amazing how that happens. They just come out of the woodwork. Well, you know, you're really, you know... Isn't it amazing you never cared when I what bar I went into? You never cared about any of that, but suddenly, you know,
and
suddenly...
And when you ignored them, they didn't talk about it anymore either.
Yeah, that's right. All right, who rejoice to do even delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. Deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And yeah, boy, you have to be careful of that. Now listen, you married men and women. You have to work together on this, okay? You can't just count on your mate. The two of you have to work together. And, you know, for example, the McVeighs are learning to work together because there'll be some, sometimes it's a girl who doesn't know any better, all right? Walk up, grab his arm, something of that sort. Or some guy that, you know, decides Rebecca's the hot thing and, you know, hey, I'm a little bit better than this guy, 14 years older than you or whatever. You'd be amazed. Those people are all over the church. I remember one time Pastor Hain in this church watching a guy hit on his wife. All right? In this church. All right? And he saw it. But the thing, it's one of those things you have to work together on that. Okay? And they need to be able to look at you across the room and you kind of nod and realize, yeah, it's going on now, all right? And you work together with that. Pastor Randall, I remember one time he was so mad at his wife, he couldn't see straight. We were together in this big place and some woman's up, oh, no, no, no. And she's purposely ignoring him and he's trying to get her attention. Yeah. She's doing her, and some woman didn't have a chance in the world, she's just laughing at him. But again, it's one of those things. Yes, ma'am?
John, I think you turned two pages. You're in chapter 7.
Am I? Was it good?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you know, this is a sneak preview. All right. Didn't hurt anybody at all, did it?
No.
All right, Proverbs chapter 4. That's why you listen to your wife. You listen to wisdom, all right? All right, so now, verse 24, put away thy froward mouth, perverse lips, far from thee, let thine eyes, verse 25, look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Mm-hmm. That really kind of goes along with what we're saying there, all right? What you're paying attention to, pay attention to, all right? If you ever, you know, I managed to get through one more year than most people to get out of high school. They finally put together 15 local credit hours when I was 19 to get me out of the Pioneer Central School. And, you know, and I went off to Fredonia because I had a Regents scholarship. I took a test one day. They sent me a scholarship. But I didn't do any better in college because I can't pay attention in the classroom. Yeah. I just can't pay attention in one. And, you know, it's just I learn different than other people learn. And that's what, and I have other people in here. You're the same way. All right. You have to teach yourself how you learn, all right? Begin to learn that way. But one of the things you'll notice, I have Ricola cough drops, okay? You know why? Because I have trouble concentrating on preaching if I don't have something going on in my mind. And, you know, it keeps my eyes straight on. There's something about that, all right? Now, if I had to walk and it would suck on that listening time, I'd probably fall down, all right? I can't do three things at once. But you have to learn how you work. You have to learn what makes you do what you need to do. And it's not going to be the same thing that makes me do. You have to learn what makes you work. And you have to work with that. You can't say, well, I'm just not going to make it. And I can't. Can't do that. Okay? You have to learn what makes you work. Because it's there. Okay? It's going to be different than other people quite often. All right? And you have to learn what makes you work. You can't sit around and cry like a baby because, you know, you're not like other people. The same people who cry like a baby, they're not like other people, are also secretly proud they're not like other people.
Uh-huh. Yes.
All right? Mm-hmm. Just get a grip, all right? All right. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. In other words, watch where you're walking, and that goes more than just physical walking. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. All right. Brother Cook, would you close us in prayer, please?
Lord, thank you for tonight, and God, your Bible is just so rich. Lord, we're talking about the practical things, and how it can help us with everyday life, and Lord, we need you to help us to pay close attention. God, thank you for the preachers that preached these wonderful words of life. Bless church, O God, as we seek to learn to be, more like you. We love you, my Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.